Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
This April, Milwaukee Zine Fest saw hundreds of vendors and alt literature fans pack Milwaukee's Central Library for a celebration of DIY publishing, free expression, and print media. WUWM digital producer Graham Thomas was there and has this report.
Public libraries are often thought of as solemn spaces, reserved for quiet study and filled with old books collecting dust. But the library is much more than that. And Milwaukee Zine Fest is just one example.
I like to refer to this as the loudest, best day at the library. It's the day where we really smash that idea that the library is a quiet study place, at least for 24 hours.
That's Timothy Rush, rare books librarian for Milwaukee Public Library.
And it's also like the biggest day of the library right now. It's with the day that we get the most foot traffic through the building, so this is getting folks to come out to the library.
124 vendors and hundreds of alt literature fans packed Milwaukee's Central Library for April's Zine Fest. The annual event is a collaboration between Milwaukee Public Library and The Bindery, a book factory in Bayview that serves as a creative hub for small press publishing. Now you may be wondering, what is a zine? The Bindery's Zach Lifton explains.
So it's a little bit tricky, but basically it's an independent published work that somebody is producing on their own rather than through a traditional method like a publishing house. It's typically something simple, easy to create at home, and then can be distributed through very low to the ground grassroots means like a festival or amongst friends.
For Lizzie Madsen, it's the accessibility of zine making that drew her and her partner Mads to the medium.
Very accessible. You can write or design however you would like, scan it in, print it off. If you go to your local library, it's probably going to be 10 cents a copy or less. And it's a great way to get information out there and meet like-minded people without all the barriers to entry of traditional publishing or traditional ways of spreading your art.
The Madsens traveled all the way from Minneapolis for this year's Zine Fest. Taking inspiration from YouTube creators like Breeze Zine Club, the couple started making their own zines under the name Hunter Moon Press earlier this year.
Well, the one I'm most excited about is Paul the Park Ranger. It's a little introduction zine. Our goal for this year is to make like a full like indie comic. So that's the one I'm most excited about probably. It's about a trans park ranger and it's very fun.
For writer Luke Geddes, zines offer an alternative outlet to participate in a visual medium.
You know, I've always really been into these underground or alternative self-published comics, but I don't have artistic skills. So sort of my entryway to be able to participate in that culture is through zines.
Geddes's zine, TV Grime, is a play on the old TV Guide magazine. It's a serialized work that traffics in television nostalgia, combining cultural criticism with personal retrospective.
And I have a few issues that have different themes, but like the most popular ones are the Halloween issue, which is my reviews and reflections on every Halloween-themed TV episode I've ever seen in my life of wataching a lot of TV. And then a Twin Peaks issue that's sort of about the web of influence that Twin Peaks had on culture that followed it, especially like other TV shows.
In 2020, Simon & Schuster published Luke Geddes' first novel, Heart of Junk. So he's no stranger to traditional publishing, but he has a particular soft spot for the DIY charm and disarming intimacy of zine culture.
I think just also the intimacy of it, it's something that's, you know, sometimes it's handwritten, it's almost always like hand stapled and bound, so you feel like you feel like you have more of a connection with the person who made it, and it feels like it has that spark of like reading someone's diary almost.
It's that intimacy that makes zines so attractive to many today. Take Ian Izzard's zine, Electric Dream, a deeply personal work that explores his experience of digital alienation.
It's a book kind of about technology and like my own personal relationship to the internet, but also a more general relationship to technology today in terms of like seeking validation from it and kind of like, where do we get our identity from? Is it from ourselves or is it from society? And then, you know, how is society then influenced by technology and kind of the interplay and cross-pollination there? So that's the project as a whole, but it's mostly very depressing and sad, but in like a fun, beautiful way.
For Izzard, ZineFest evokes a feeling of artistic community and an opportunity to participate in face-to-face culture.
I feel like that's the best part, is just like keeping up with people, getting to see what they're doing. We all get to be in the same place at the same time, and you know, it's really easy to find new stuff that way.
Colleen Harris of Dog Eye Press puts it like this.
We love talking about how zines and books are just portals, like portals into another world. And it's something that you can create another world and then just hand it off to someone and then they take it with them and you never know where it's going to go.
For librarian Max Yella, zines create a unique social bond between artist and audience.
The zine is something that you hold in your hand. It's a one-on-one experience. You experience it in accumulated fragments. So that expression is what I really love about zines. I love the fact that they're DIY, that you don't have to depend on a publisher. You're the maker, you're the publisher, you're the distributor.
Yela is head of special collections at UWM, and he's worked closely with Central Library on their zine archive, a collection that helped kickstart ZineFest back in 2008.
This is what I love. And so sitting behind the desk like this and watch people interact with materials in this way, it really jazzes me.
Rare Books librarian Timothy Rush puts it this way.
Zines are great because they allow somebody to put their thoughts into the world without like any sort of filter or, you know, need to change up what they're writing because they're trying to publish for a specific audience or it's what the publisher thinks should be made.
From transcendentalism to surrealism to 70s punk and 90s feminism, the zine has been a consistent fellow traveler of radical artistic and political movements. Cartoonist Susan Semensky-Biedela cut her teeth as an activist artist in the 60s, and she's been coming to Milwaukee Zine Fest since the beginning. She sees independent art as a site of resistance.
The role of artists is to resist authoritarianism, and I'm part of a collective that certainly does that, because we touch all the topics that we're not supposed to talk about. We support Palestine, even though most of us are Jewish, and we're against genocide. We support political prisoners. We support women's rights. We support the right to health care and all of the other things that are being threatened right now.
Biedela is a contributor and co-editor for World War III Illustrated, a leftist comics anthology published by AK Press. Last summer, her comic strip Big Sister is Watching You was included as part of a gallery event at the St. Kate Hotel during the Republican National Convention. However, she says the piece was removed.
And lo and behold, the night of the show opening, the St. Kate Hotel, art hotel, managers and owners took the art down, and they said that it was too inciting to riot for the Republicans, and were afraid that damage would be done to the hotel from a comic that's called Big Sister is Watching You, about the book banning moms groups.
Biedela says events like ZineFest are important bastions of free speech at a time when it's under threat.
Things are being censored in the arts, and I think it's only beginning.
For The Bindery's Zach Lifton, zines are the perfect medium for amplifying diverse perspectives.
And I also really love that they are a way for all different types of diverse voices to be out in the world in a way that maybe traditional publishing wouldn't be capturing them or marginalizing those voices to the side. So zines are a great way for everybody to participate in print.
For Lake Effect, I'm Graham Thomas.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.